It's time for What's Up with Opposition Deputy Leader Paula Bennett.
Morena, Paula Bennett, how are you?
I'm very good. I feel like your listeners are going from happy, happy song to politics.
Yes, and we've got some big topics as well today. We're going to talk a little bit about the Resource Management Act and what your party's been saying about that. We're also going to talk a little bit about Whakaari and also the TVNZ and RNZ situation and what's kind of going on there at the moment. Let's start with talking about what your party said about the Resource Management Act. So Judith Collins, who is the planning spokesperson, has said that the party would repeal the RMA in order to make a more developer friendly planning law. One of these suggestions from the party is perhaps splitting the act in two, one part for urban planning and one part for managing the environment. Now, we know that climate change is and is going to continue to have huge impacts on our cities. As the former climate change minister yourself, do you see any risks in separating urban planning laws from our environmental planning laws, Paula?
Well, of course, and there are risks. There's risks in leaving it as it is. There's risks in changing any legislation and splitting it. And I guess that doesn't need to take away from our environment and the strengths of that when we're looking at what development and what future housing and others looks like. But we, you know, not many countries have them sitting in one piece of legislation. And what it is doing at the moment is completely kind of halting in some ridiculous circumstances. So some of them really work and are important, but there's also so many stories of the conflict between them and actually it meaning that nothing gets done instead of some of the common sense and sensible stuff.
So what kind of, I guess, measures are you envisaging will replace the RMA in order to make sure then that it is still something that's going to create sustainable housing or sort of housing that's going to work within a climate change and changing cityscape, basically, that we're moving into?
Yeah, well, I suppose there's two sort of sides to that. So one is just getting rid of some of the ridiculous stuff. I mean, quite frankly, if you're extending a bedroom in your house, then is that really affecting the environment much? Do you have to go through the incredible cost and time delays that we're seeing at the moment and have got multiple stories of? So some of it is fixing that and getting a bit more common sense. But I suppose, you know, like, we haven't got the detail, and that's why it's a discussion document and something we want to talk. And I must say there's actually a lot of agreement across parties that the RMA in its current form is not working for New Zealand. But making sure that we also protect our environment is equally important to us and something that I think we can get the balance better on.
For something like adding a bedroom or something to a house, what about the, I guess, the opposite, not necessarily just the impact that's going to have on the environment, but also how that's going to work within changing environments? Because you see in big cities like Paris, where you've got really high density and houses built really close together, you get really massive problems with overheating with the way that their summers are changing. Can you envisage any issues perhaps arising with changing something like this law?
Well, there'll still be absolute criteria around the Building Act and everything else that goes on. And I suppose in some respects we're lucky in that we're a relatively new country when compared to somewhere like Paris, and that we haven't got these very old buildings. Sure, we've got some of them, but nothing like that where you're kind of having to go. So we can build new buildings that actually are up to code. And, you know, so that stuff's equally important, but there are other acts, and I'm sure the RMA would still play a part in it.
One other thing that your party said about this is that removing this legislation will give more certainty for developers. What is the uncertainty that developers are facing at the moment?
Oh, it's just huge. So, I mean, they invest so much. They're ready to go. They then get delayed by months and months and months. That costs money. That means they're putting that money onto the price of those houses. They can't guarantee the next development. So actually having your workforce all lined up that they're going to build these 10 and then move on to the next 10, sometimes it can be, you know, someone, they can be doing a development in South Auckland and have a complaint from someone in Queenstown, and that can then delay for literally months and months, and these things do happen. So, you know, it's quite genuine for developers who, in the whole, want to do the right thing at the right price, you know, for people, that are just seeing added costs and burdens that are unnecessary and actually not doing anything for anyone. I mean, it's not protecting the environment. Most of them are not cases that really need to go through the expense and the time that they are.
Well, let's talk now about a different kind of regulations, perhaps the idea of needing more regulation. And, of course, we're talking about whakaari here and our adventure tourism industry. So back in 2014, John Key brought in new regulations around the tourism industry, noting that there'd been a lot of deaths in the last decade, particularly in adventure tourism. Do you think that we need to push even harder for this at this point?
Oh, it's such a difficult question to answer because we're in the, you know, we're in the middle of still grieving, I think, as a country for so many, and it's been such a shocking and tragic incident that's happened there that, you know, it's, I mean, your initial reaction is whatever we can to protect lives. But we live in a country that is volatile as Christchurch and Kaikoura and now White Island has proven in the most recent years. And I suppose it's getting that balance of ensuring that people can get out and still do things as they want to, but mitigating as much risk as we can. And I suppose I just sort of take caution and say, let's make sure we do learn from this and we do what needs to be done. I myself have been on White Island. I'm one of the, I think, I feel like a privileged person to have done that because it is such a unique environment and island. But that risk is genuine. So, look, I just say always looking at how we can protect better. And as you identify, we did make changes around adventure tourism and John Key was really strong on it. But we also don't want to protect ourselves so much that we're not doing anything.
Well, let's talk a little bit about TVNZ and RNZ and what's going on there. So Chris Farfoy, the Labor Broadcasting Minister, had hoped to make a statement about the merger of TVNZ and RNZ before Christmas. Now it's looking like it's going to be held back while they're waiting for some more information. What is National's preferred model for the way forward for broadcasting in New Zealand?
Well, look, I'm not sure that I see those two merging as the answer. I mean, what we've got to have is different voices, and I think the media is just, you know, just absolutely vital in our democracy, quite frankly, in the information that New Zealanders get and that it's free and it's frank. And a merger like that would have to be looked at very carefully and not something that I initially think would work, really. In that context, though, we've got a very changing environment for the media and how people get their news and what they expect from it. You know, there's something in that it is kind of the news aspect that is often what loses money, and I'm sure that there are other ways that we could look at providing some form of support or assistance that isn't just for RNZ and TVNZ, but perhaps other media outlets as well. That means that we still get that robust news that we want, but equally means that they're financially viable.
Well, thank you so much for all of your time this year, Paula. We've really appreciated you being on the show. Last question is, what's your Christmas plans? Are you doing anything nice?
I've got to admit, not much. I'm lucky that all the family's turning up on Christmas Day.
Oh, that'll be good.
I haven't even thought about what the menu is for that, but it'll be the old-fashioned roast, I'm sure, so that'll pull itself together. I've got wonderful older daughters now and sisters-in-law and things, that everyone brings something so I don't have to worry about it too much. But I'm hoping for sunshine and a bit of fishing, I've got to say.
Cross our fingers for that. That will be very nice if we get that. Have a lovely Christmas and we'll speak to you again in the new year. Thanks again for all your time on the show this year.
Oh, Merry Christmas to you and to everyone else that's sort of out there. I hope it's a safe and happy one.
Thank you. Bye.
Cool. Thanks. Bye.
That was What's Up with Opposition Deputy Leader Paula Bennett.